Our scripture reading is from Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and have done evil and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. In the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise, for you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar.
Our first song this morning is Sing Wherever I Go. If you would, please stand while we sing this song. Do, mi, so, mi.
Thank you. please bow with me. Father in heaven, we're so blessed, Father, you give us this day to praise your name, to give you thanks for everything you give us, you provide for us, for our bodies to live in this world that we're just passing by. Father, you are the greatest. You are our God. You are our King. There is no other King, Father, that what people claim. There is no other God who we can trust but you. Father, in these days we feel we cannot get up, we cannot keep going, Father. Our bodies feel weak, feel we not keep going. But the hope is on you. We trust in you. All the sickness we feel, the people from this church, Father, brothers and sisters that suffering, Father, for all those body witness. We hope in you. We know that you're there to give him comfort. Please help us to keep going, Father, to praise your name, to know that you are there. And we know that. There is no doubt. Please keep us safe. Please we be those that they cannot be here today, Father, that they can be here the next upon a time. Thank you for your Son to give his life, to give us ours, that we know one day we're going to be with you. Please help us to give you praise that this day, Father, is your day. Please be with Aaron, Father. We know that she's suffering for death, Father. That we know what she has and what she's going through. Be with their families. And that we know that you're going to keep bringing back. We thank you again, God, for all the freedom that we have, that we can come in and praise your name, that this service, Father, go according to your will. It's in your Son, most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our next song is Savior and Friend. Do mi sa mi.
Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is a passage we use quite often when we gather around the Lord's table. We find there Paul reiterating the instructions that Jesus gave on the night of his betrayal when he instituted this Lord's Supper. What's interesting is that in the context, Paul is actually rebuking the church in Corinth for taking the supper improperly. They are divided. It seems that the rich were gathering before the others and having their fill of bread and wine so that when the poor showed up, there was nothing left for them. And Paul goes on, and after giving the instructions from Jesus, to remind them what this feast is really all about, that it's not about us, but that it is about the Lord and proclaiming his death until he comes. He says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly." These, again, I think are familiar verses when we come week after week. We talk about examining ourselves and not partaking in an unworthy manner. But he says that if we do this, that is, not judge the body rightly, we will eat and drink judgment to ourselves. And then comes a verse that we, quite honestly, skip over or stop before oftentimes. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30, Paul says, "For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world." It's hard to know exactly what Paul means when he says, "For this reason, many of you are sick and weak, and some have fallen asleep," perhaps meaning died. Is it the case that God has brought judgment on the church in Corinth, or discipline is the word used in verse 32, and actually struck them with some physical afflictions, maybe even death, because of their spiritual maturity, their pride, their divisiveness, particularly around the Lord's Supper? Again, we don't know the exact answer to that question, but I think what it does is it gives us a way of thinking very soberly about the Lord's Supper, that this is every week when we gather together an opportunity to examine our health, so to speak. Not just our physical health, but our spiritual health. How do we stand before the Lord when we examine ourselves, when we judge the body, as Paul says to do in this passage? We are thinking about our condition, our spiritual condition before the Lord. And that's what I would like us to do this morning, as we sing together, as we reflect together, using a song that Steve taught us in the fall in our new songs class called "Heal Us All." We're actually going to sing this song twice this morning, in part because it's more unfamiliar, but also because I want us to have it before us, think through each verse of it, and then sing it one more time before we take of the supper. But it's a song that uses imagery, as we will see, from the gospel story of Jesus, and then puts us into that story and imagines that we, as we are this morning, come before Jesus, examining our spiritual condition and pleading with him to heal us of our sicknesses and our diseases. So let's begin by singing this song, "Heal Us All."
Oh, with all joy they went.
At evening, when the sun had set, the sick, O Lord, around you lay. This is imagery drawn directly from the gospel account, maybe most directly from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 32, when the text says that when evening came after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases. You remember this scene from the gospel, but I want you to put yourself in that scene and think about, as you see it in your mind's eye, how strange, how unsettling, uncomfortable this assembly must have been. Imagine being gathered together with all these people. You have crippled people hobbling along trying to get to Jesus. You have feverish people that are shaking and are trembling. You have sick people that are retching on the side of the road as they try to get to Jesus. You have demon-possessed people doing who knows what, yelling out, harming themselves as they try to get to Jesus as well. Imagine being in the middle of that crowd and what that may have felt like. Oh, with how many pains they met as they bring their sicknesses, their injuries, their burdens to Jesus. But oh, with what joy they went away, because Jesus was not turned off by the uncomfortable nature of this ragged assembly. Instead, Jesus patiently spent time with each one of these sick and troubled people, healing each and every one of them of their paralysis, of their blindness, of their deafness, of their weakness, of their disease. Once more, the song says, "'Tis eventide, and we, oppressed with various ills, draw near." It is an evening time song, so pardon me for using it in a Sunday morning service. But we put ourselves in the story, and the song says, now we come before Jesus. And this picture of an uncomfortable assembly in Mark chapter 1 is, in fact, a picture of us. Sure, we all got up this morning, most of us, I guess, and showered and combed our hair and put on a nice outfit. We smile at each other and we say, we're doing just fine. But what if we could see with our eyes the spiritual condition of one another as we looked around? Would we not be the unsettling, uncomfortable assembly of scary-looking folks that came together in Mark chapter 1? As we gather around the Lord's table this morning with our burdens and our problems, our sins, our fears, our anxieties, our weaknesses, and our deficiencies, the various ills that oppress us, we bring these this morning to Jesus. And though his form we cannot see, we know that you are ever near. We're going to sing that. We've already sung it. We'll sing it again. Do you believe that this morning? The problem is that in the thick of the struggle against the burdens and difficulties of life, it is easy to doubt that Jesus is, in fact, near. Does Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth, does he know me and what I'm going through? Does he see what I'm experiencing? Does he understand my temptations and my sorrow? Are the troubles of my life anything to Jesus? Does Jesus really care? Do mi sol.
Does Jesus care? My heart is faint to thee, for heard that song. As the burdens press, the care distress, and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know.
Yes, he cares. I know he cares. And confident in the love of Jesus, we draw near this morning, that unsettled and unsettling crowd seeking the healing that only he can give, the same healing he gave to them as the great physician. The great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. His name dispels my guilt and fear. Oh, how my soul delights to hear the blessed name of Jesus.
The great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweet is the Sarah's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. His name dispels my guilt and fear, no other name but Jesus. Oh, how my soul delights to hear the charming name of Jesus. Sweetest ever Sarah sung, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus.
O Savior Christ, our woes dispel. For some are sick, and some are sad. And some have never loved you well, and some have lost the love they had. This song is powerful to me, in part because, as the title says, Heal Us All, this song touches each and every one of us and the various ills that we bring to our Lord. We have plenty among us at any given time, including now, who are sick and who are sad, who face cancer and disease or injury in their own life, or who are caring for someone with such, or who have lost in grief and sorrow someone dear to them, as we have already sung about, or perhaps who are dealing with the sadness of life's disappointments, that life has not turned out the way that we hoped it would, that we have been let down by something or someone. Some are sick and some are sad. But the song really gets beyond that to the deeper sicknesses and burdens of the heart, the spiritual diseases that we have. For instance, in this second verse, the love that we are missing in our hearts. Some have never loved God the way that he has asked. They have never given their whole heart in surrender to him. Whether they've been baptized or not, they have failed to truly devote themselves to the Lord. And some have had that love at some point, but they have drifted. They have grown cold in their love for God or their love for other people. And so as we come before the great physician this morning, we are praying for healing and comfort, not just in our physical infirmities, but more importantly, we are praying for healing and comfort of our hearts, that he would give us the love that we need, the love that we desire, to give ourselves fully to him. We're going to sing a song in just a moment that draws from two different stories in the gospel accounts. It draws in the second verse from the story of the disciples. As Jesus walked by, the song will say the Syrian Sea, that's the Sea of Galilee. In Mark chapter 1, and you'll remember this scene as well, where he says, as Jesus was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and they followed him. The simple trust of those fishermen, Peter and Andrew here, James and John in the following verses, the others like Matthew when he was sitting by the tax booth, those to whom Jesus said, follow me, and they didn't object. They didn't argue. They didn't rationalize. They got up. They left everything, and they followed him. That's what we're praying for this morning when we ask God to heal us, to help us to have more love for Jesus, than for anything else or anyone else in our lives, such that when we hear his voice calling, we would get up and we would follow him. But this song also, a prayer itself, draws from a story in Mark chapter 5, in which Jesus gets to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and there is a man there who is, again, quite scary in his own right. We learn from the text that he has a legion of demons. Many demons are possessing this man, such that he is a harm to himself and to other people. Again, see ourselves in this man's story. He is lonely. He has to live by himself. His life is characterized by death. He lives among the tombs there outside the town. He cannot be contained. He cannot be helped. He cannot be cured. He is chained down. He breaks out of those chains. He cuts himself in his agony and his affliction. There is no hope for this man's healing until Jesus shows up. And Jesus casts the demons out of this man. And famously, those demons go into the pigs who rush down into the Sea of Galilee. But after this happens, Mark chapter 5, verse 15 says that the townspeople came to Jesus and they observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, and he was clothed and in his right mind. The very man who had the legion, and it says that they became frightened. We don't know all the details of those who were possessed by demons in the days of Jesus, but it is, if nothing else, a vivid picture of how the forces of darkness work in this world. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we are continuing today as Christians to struggle against the spiritual forces of darkness. And I think this song is getting at that in the second verse when it says, some are pressed with worldly care, some are tried with fear and doubt, and some such grievous passions bear that only you can cast them out. The fears, the doubts, the anxieties, the passions that we struggle against, they are at least in part the work of the evil one who is trying everything he can do to pull us away from Jesus. And so we bring our burdens. We come to Jesus asking him to cast out our demons, so to speak, to heal us of all of these things that plague us, because we have no other hope than Jesus' cure and Jesus' healing. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise. Domi.
Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind, in purer life thy service find, in deeper reverence praise. In simple trust like theirs who
And some have found the world is vain, yet to the world they turn anew. And some have friends that cause them pain, yet they have not sought a friend in you. One of the worst symptoms of our sin sickness is that we are averse to the cure. We see, all of us, the attraction of the world, and we have all run after it. Whatever it is we are seeking, pleasure, fun, fulfillment, rebelliousness, money, popularity. We chase these things, and like the prodigal son in Luke 15, we quickly find out how miserable and how empty all of it is. Yet too often for many of us, we do not respond the way that the prodigal son did when he was slopping the muck and the mud with the pigs. Instead, we often act more like the man in the proverb that Peter references in 2 Peter chapter 2, the dog that returns to his own vomit. We've been disappointed by the world. We've been left miserable and empty, and yet we go back to it, deluding ourselves, perhaps, into thinking that this time I will find what I'm looking for. This time I will be fulfilled. Or maybe we simply are trying to numb ourselves to the pain of our brokenness and don't want to undergo the painful surgery that the great physician requires of us. Either way, how sad it is when we, who are cast off by the world, oppressed by Satan, the god of this world, let down and disappointed by others, how sad it is that we are often too foolish, too proud, or too stubborn to come back to Jesus, our one true Savior and friend. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer, when the truth is there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No one else can heal our soul's diseases. No, not one. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's sing these next two songs, one right after the other. Do mi sol. Let's be standing as we sing.